Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you to our worship community for leading us into God's presence. You can follow in your worship notes in the bulletin. The generosity of God is what makes our lives tick. It's where it all starts. I'm so glad this is not about what I've done for him. I'm so glad this is not about how many hours I've volunteered and how much money I've given. This has nothing to do with that. Everything that gives us life in Jesus has to do with what he did for us before we could do anything for him. And in Psalm 103, where we just read, it talks about the Lord forgiving our sin and about him healing our diseases, about him rescuing us from the pits and the traps of life, about in a world that's brutal and careless. He crowns us with love and compassion, and in a time where we seem to crave and never be satisfied, he satisfies our desires with good things. And in just a world that wears you out, he renews our youth like the eagles. This is the generosity of God towards us. That was written by David 1,000 years before Jesus came. But Jesus came, and everything Psalm 103 focuses on, as it outlines God's generosity to us, it's all embodied in Jesus himself. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word grace is a generosity word. It's what you don't pay for. It's what you don't deserve. It's what you don't merit. It's not the wages of our Lord. It's not the award of our Lord. It's not the recognition of our Lord Jesus. It's the grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, is that a remarkable verse or what? That's the mission of Jesus with you and I in mind, and our whole world in mind, as he who is rich, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all that we know, Jesus, God's son, he became poor for our sake so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. In fact, everything itemized in Psalm 103, forgiveness, healing, rescuing, love, compassion, satisfaction, renewal, every one of those things were bought and paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ, where he who is rich became poor for our sake, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And the question is, how do we respond to that? Well, we worship. We worship. And worship takes on some very tangible ways. It's singing like we did, and I hope there'll be a song in your heart all week. But it's also giving. What's the greatest way to respond to the generosity of God? Not to try to pay for that generosity, because we can't, but to simply give back to honor him. I'm going to talk about two ways, in fact, that we respond this morning. We give back to honor him, and we give forward to trust him. Honoring him and trusting him are both at the heart of what worship is all about. We give back and we give forward, both of them as ways of honoring him. He's a generous God. He's a mighty God. How to respond to that? Or a generous back for this reason, to honor him. We give back to honor him. We see this all the way back last week from Malachi. We talked about tithing. Now, tithing was kind of the last, that's giving one part in ten of everything you own, 10% of what you earn, giving back to the Lord. I've done this since I was a little kid, and interesting, it's the very last thing that God chose to encourage his own people about before Jesus returned. Of all the prophetic voices in the Old Testament, Malachi, who we looked at last week, was the last voice before Jesus came. And he talked about tithing. So I'm not going to repeat that message, but the power of it, how it resources God's work, and and unlocks the principle of abundance in our lives, and how it even works to break the devourer's power in our life. We went through all that last week. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, Moses writes in verse 6 about our offerings to the Lord, including our tithes. He said, bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Bring your tithes and your special gifts. So the tithe was only like a baseline, 1 in 10. We see this all the way back, even hundreds of years before Moses wrote this. People like Abraham and Jacob. Seems like every time a heart was touched by God, people responded. They had to do something tangible, so they responded by giving a tenth of whatever God did for them back to the Lord. Hearts touched by God respond with a tenth. This is just an embedded principle all through the Old Testament. And so here Moses is talking about bring your tithe, and then beyond that there was their special gifts and the things you vowed to give to the Lord, your free will offerings. We just gave a free will offering to help house and serve and minister to people with disabilities. We did that this morning, free will offerings. And bring the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. God says, you honor me with the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. And so you can imagine growing up in a Jewish family, and you're watching your dad, and you know, you're really reliant on the crops, and you're really reliant on the livestock you've got. This is the way you exist. You have some of your livestock giving birth for the first time, and these are healthy little animals that could give you years of productive return. And instead, you watch your dad take that firstborn and say, no, we're not putting this firstborn animal to work in our fields. And you're going, why? We need that. I mean, that's how we live. That's how we eat. That's how we survive. And no, the firstborn. And they take it. And the father explains, this firstborn belongs to God. Because God doesn't get our leftovers. God gets our best and our first. So here you have the tithes. Thank you for that. The tithes, the offerings, the firstborn, everything. And verse 7, the next verse, and there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to. And then he tells us why. Not because we want to buy favors from God. That has nothing to do with the generosity of God. You got to buy stuff from him. He's not generous. But here's why. Because the Lord, your God, has blessed you. He beat us to it. He blesses us before we ever bless him. And what do we ever have to give to him that he needs anyway, except that he's blessed us? And so we take the best. We take the firstborn of everything. We take not our leftovers, but our first. We take the 1 in 10. We take the offerings above, and we give it back, not just to support a cause, but we give it back because he has blessed us with everything, and we honor him. Lord, everything I have is because of you, and so I honor you. Two chapters later in Deuteronomy chapter 14, he goes, be sure to set aside a tenth of all your fields produce every year. So there's the tithe again. And then he says, verse 23 would be a part of the religious celebration. We would say today the function of the church is we together enjoy the benefits of the church that we tithe to. He said, eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil and the firstborn of your herds and the flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, or to the temple or the places of worship. Why? And then he tells us again, except it's not because God's blessed us, and so we thank him for all he's blessed us by what we give. But this time it's so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So that something of the tithe, something of the firstborn dedicated to him, something of the grain, the wine, the olive oil, all the abundance God gives us, we give him the best part and the first part back, because we're saying, God, by our gifts, We actually are revering your name. We have to understand our giving not as giving to a cause, as great as the cause of Christ Church and the mission and housing disabled people is. Above all, we are revering him. Because Jesus taught us that there's something hardwired spiritually into our giving. He said, you can't serve God and man. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to avoid things. Then he goes through the standard sin list. And then he'll add in, and also avoid greed. And he, more than once, he'll add this little phrase, and also avoid greed, which is idolatry. I go, Paul, why'd you have to add that? You know, there's lots of things I'd like. It's because there's a whole allegiance issue that's tied to our possessions. Do we make them serve us in God, or do we serve them? Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money at the same time. Jesus' brother James writes in the New Testament, the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. That's why in our culture we say, whenever you see an issue, whenever you see corruption, we say, follow the... Yeah, we say that for a reason. And Paul said, greed is actually a form of idolatry, which had to do with demonism and all other kinds of things. In other words, you sell out to the spirit of the world and the age when you keep everything for yourself. But you revere his name. You defy the godhood of money and things over your life when in his name, not just to a cause that you believe in, but in his name, you give him the tenth and the best part, the tithes and the offerings, you give it to him because he's blessed you with everything and because you are all about revering his name and saying, I revere his name. I'm not ruled by the culture. I'm not ruled by money. I'm not ruled by anything else. I defy the power of those things over our lives. And money is one of those things that has huge spiritual powers associated with it. It is the other God, Jesus said, and you're going to have to choose which one you serve. And so here, Moses got it right in Deuteronomy. We give because we're constantly declaring that my life is always about the reverence of God's name. And then I put in a verse that I think about almost every Sunday when I come to church. Psalm 96, verse 8. In light of all this, I love this verse because it talks about a worship act. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name and bring an offering and come into his courts. I had a friend a number of years ago. He wasn't like preaching at me. He wasn't telling me to do this anymore that I'm telling you to do this, but it challenged me and I made it my pattern. He said, let's ascribe. So we come to the place of worship, like here this morning. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. And this friend of mine said, you know, no matter what, I just never go to a worship experience without, when the offering's received, so I take some extra cash with me, and I'll always just put something in, because I want to go. I want to, in every way. That's why Pastor Carter sometimes comes up here and says, let's now worship God with our giving. And so my friend says, I will never go to a place where we honor God's name without putting something in there. Now, I happen to give online mainly to the church. And I'm on the recurring giving thing. You know, we have a great new platform actually. So I give recurring gifts. And so my main tithes, and then I give to missions. Thank you for the many of you who committed to missions for the next year, a couple weeks ago in our mission service. That's above my tithe, so I do that. So it's on recurring giving. You can go onto our website, hit the give button, and it's very easy to set up recurring. The reason I do recurring is, number one, it takes the pain out of it. I'm sorry to say that. You know what? it would probably be better for me if I had to suffer every time, you know? It really reminds me of what my life's all about, okay? There's something brutally great, beautifully and brutally great about having to write out a check and give it to the work of God. It just constantly reminds me who my God is. And I'm doing it for him. But so first of all, it's less painful though, because it kind of happens invisibly, right? But also, I have no 2 weeks in my life that look alike. And so sometimes, you know, a month can go by and I'm not even in the country very much, and I don't want the work of God to suffer. Not that we would rise and fall on my giving, but you know, I realize that if I miss a month, it deprives the church, it deprives the work of God, and I don't want to do that. And also because you know, it's easy to think, I find it easy to think I've given more than I have, right? Like I missed last month, right? And I kind of forgot I missed last month. I did it this month. I feel real holy. You know, I got it. I'm all caught up. And then I miss the next month. And then you get your giving receipt at the end of the year and you go, oh, that's not as much as I thought I gave. So that's why I love recurring giving. I invite you to do that yourself. But Psalm 96 says, whenever I come to revere God's name, I'm going to come into your courts with an offering. David said, God forbid I offer the Lord anything that costs me nothing. And I don't know, you don't need to do this, but that's why in any service I'm in, or Sunday night prayer gathering, which I'm going to have to miss tonight because of an emergency funeral out of town today, I have to be at. But whether it's Sunday night service, whether it's a Bible study, anytime the offering, it's just something I feel like the Lord's asked me to do. And I always carry a little bit of cash on me, or else you can text to give. But I just feel like every time I come into his courts to worship him, not because the church is going to rise or fall on my extra $10 or $20 of loose change, but every time I come into the courts of the Lord, I need to honor him. I want to find every tangible way. And God, because money has to do with Godhood and lordship in our life, that especially, when I come to praise him with my voice, and seek him with my heart. That's why every service you'll ever see me in, I'll be putting something into the offering. I'm not asking you to do that, but this is just part of how the Lord has encouraged me over the years to begin walking in his generosity and constantly responding tangibly to his generosity. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it's the top of the second side of your notes. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. So he said, you take your bodies, you take something very tangible and real, yourself and everything your body negotiates, your possessions, your time, your obedience, everything your body can be marshaled to effect. You dedicate it all to the Lord. You present your whole body as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. And this is your true and proper worship. The Greek word is the word we get the word liturgy from. The liturgy of your life is marshaling everything in the physical realm and constantly using it to honor God. So in 2 weeks, as you know, we have a project here called 2020. And it's to reduce our mortgage while we're locked in for 3 more years at low interest rates. As you know, interest rates are going up. So we're doing all we can to pay off all of that before we have to refinance and the interest rates will be up and we'll have to spend more of God's money just paying interest. And so, and it's because of all the expansion we've done over the years and to facilitate ministry. So we're going to give a 2020 offering, and 75% goes purely to principal. And 25% goes to ongoing facilities development. I know there's a love Jesus, hate church movement out there that resents churches asking for money. I personally am glad I go to a church where once in a while the air conditioners break down and they need money. Because I know sometimes in the love Jesus, hate church movement, there's never a challenge to defy the Godhood of money and be just flat out unselfish and just give your money away. I'm glad I go somewhere I get to just give my money away. This is how we honor him. And we're going to do that in 2 weeks for 2020. But what I'm saying this morning is don't just give it to a mortgage in our facilities. Revere God. Acknowledge his blessing in your life. This, more than giving to projects, more than giving to causes, this is all about giving to the honor of his name. Come into his courts, bring an offering, and bless his holy name. That's what we're going to do. So take your bodies, present them as living sacrifices, Paul said, holy and acceptable unto him. It's not paying for buildings. It's my life given to his priorities and his work. And I do this to honor him. You see, how do we respond to God's generosity? Well, we give back to honor him.